Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. If Congress doesn't act today, as you just heard on the news, 200,000 New Yorkers and millions of other Americans will lose their unemployment benefits at the end of the year. Now, Congress usually keeps extending benefits in times of high joblessness like this, but right now Congress can't agree on the terms. Plus, conservative economists argue that unemployment insurance itself keeps unemployment high. And that argument has more resonance in today's politics than it usually does. So we will get some analysis now of what the gridlock on this in Congress is about, and we will take your calls on the role of extended unemployment benefits in your life at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. With us now, George Wentworth, senior staff attorney with the National Employment Law Center, which advocates for unemployed-friendly policies, and John Maggs, national politics reporter for Politico. George and John, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian.
Great to be here.
George Wentworth, let me start with you on this. We keep hearing the term 99ers as part of this debate. What does the term 99ers mean?
Well, 99 refers to the number of weeks that are potentially available for unemployment benefits for workers during this recession. But it's a bit of a misnomer because it's only in some states, and it's really completely reliant on this issue before Congress right now, which is reauthorizing the system of federal unemployment benefits. All states pay about 26 weeks of benefits. And for the past 2 years, since the summer of 2008, as the national unemployment rate went up, Congress authorized additional benefits because workers were having a tougher time finding new employment. There are currently two federal unemployment programs that add up to 73 additional weeks. And those programs are what are at risk right now in Congress.
Do we have 99ers in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
We have. Actually, in New York, you have 93ers. There are 93 weeks available. In New Jersey and Connecticut, it's 99 weeks. But if Congress does not act to reauthorize the federal legislation, in New York, you're going to go from 93 weeks to 26, which is just the basic state program. New Jersey and Connecticut still have a pre-existing extended benefits program that would provide 20 additional weeks. So they would not be impacted quite as immediately as New York workers.
John Maggs from Politico, why is Congress deadlocked on this? Is it not so much from Republican opposition to a benefits extension per se as to how to pay for it?
Well, I would say it's a combination of, the increasing polarization of fiscal-related politics, number one, and also let's just recognize that this is an extraordinarily long period for extended unemployment benefits to be approved.
It's also an extraordinarily long time for this high unemployment.
Yes, exactly. It's not a comment on whether it's justified. I'm merely saying that a program that was conceived in 1935 to be a temporary respite for production workers in factories who might be laid off for a few months or 6 months at the most has become kind of a lifeline for the long-term unemployed in America. And I think even some liberal economists are starting to wonder whether the program works as it does, because if you keep paying unemployment benefits to someone for a period of several years, they start losing their skills and they start dropping out of the workforce. So people are casting about. So that's part of it. But I would say the politics is a big measure of it too. The Republicans are trying to make Democrats look like they're not responsible fiscally. And their argument is we need to offset this. We need to find spending cuts to pay for it, and Democrats have been resisting that.
Let's take a phone call, I think, on one of the risks that you just cited for long-term unemployment. Lisa in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Lisa, thanks for calling.
Yes, I need to thank everyone so much for the opportunity to be able to speak about this. It's very, very painful, very personal. I would like to talk to those conservatives who say that unemployment insurance itself keeps unemployment high. The problem that I have and the problem that millions of people have is that for me to go out and try to get a full-time job right now is like jumping between two cliffs and wondering whether or not you can make it. If I don't get a job exactly like the one I had before, and maybe even if I get a job almost exactly like the one I had before, and it doesn't work out, and they say, excuse me, we're not suited for this, you know, we gave you a chance, you're not exactly what we were looking for, and I get fired, I'm going to lose my job, and I'm going to lose my unemployment insurance. This resembles the problem with welfare, in which there's actually a disincentive for finding a job. If they find out that you're making a few bucks and getting a welfare check, you're in big trouble. There should be some kind of a rule which says you can have it for a while, or what I would like to see is if you get a job for 2 months or for 3 months, this is something for sociologists to talk about, and you don't work out, you can have your unemployment insurance back.
George Wentworth, is that a glitch in the law if somebody like Lisa, who's been unemployed for a while, takes a job similar to the one that she had, and then she gets fired because it didn't work out, then she loses all that accumulated unemployment insurance benefit time?
Well, I think all states, whether you're collecting regular benefits or a federal extension, have rules around eligibility that are when you're discharged from employment. And for the most part, you're only going to be disqualified if you are discharged for some form of willful misconduct. There was a problem with the federal benefits last year where workers who went back and took temporary jobs were finding that even when they became unemployed through no fault of their own later on, that it was dramatically reducing their benefits. That was actually addressed by Congress this summer. But these are the kinds of problems that come up in an economy where long-term unemployment is so rampant. And this is what, kind of differs from the way the economy was structured when the unemployment insurance system was first established back during the Depression. Long-term unemployment right now is over 40% of all the unemployed are out of work more than 6 months, and close to a quarter are out for a year or more. There are five unemployed workers for every existing job opening in the country right now. So even if you were to take an unemployed person and put them into every existing job opening right now, there's 14 million unemployed in this country, you'd still have over 10 million unemployed. So the justification for the longer duration of benefits is really very much a product of a very different kind of downturn.
Listeners, is this discussion about you? If your benefits will run out without this extension, call in and plead your case, as Lisa just did. Your congressman or congresswoman may be listening. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And tell us how you've been using unemployment insurance, especially extended unemployment insurance, if you're approaching being a 93 weeks of unemployment benefits in New York State, or anybody else. Also, for others, taxpayers, what are you willing to pay for? Are you willing to pay for someone who's been a professional to avoid taking a job at Walmart, say, to make ends meet? And if so, for how long? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And has anybody ever refused a job because your unemployment benefits were paying more? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. John, do we know demographics here? Do we know if there are certain people most affected by this, by age or race or gender or type of previous employment or anything, and if that affects the political equation in Congress?
I can't speak with any great specificity about the demographics. I'm under the impression that this this wave of joblessness that we're enduring right now is much broader than it's been in the past, that people from kind of all walks of life are being hit by it, white-collar people as well as blue-collar people. I think that cutting in the other direction, though, is the fact that people with less skills, people with less education, are really forming the core of that long-term unemployment group that threatens to become, in another word, an underclass. This is a problem that the different advanced economies have endured, have developed more so than the United States, where you have fairly generous benefits that create a class of people who are not so interested in working and can kind of get by without working. And in our case, you know, the lack of skills and the lack of opportunity, I think, poses a very real risk of creating this underclass, which is that becomes a significant social problem for the country.
Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. I wanted to say thank you for all the hard work you've been doing over the last couple of years while I've been sort of unemployed. I've had about 6 jobs in these 2 years, nothing longer than 3 months, and I see these unemployment benefits as a reward for searching. I've been searching constantly, every day, several jobs, anything that even comes close to looking like a job I can do, but I rarely hear back from anything.
And so unemployment gets you by through this. Have you had to reapply each time? It sounds like you've had some short-term stints.
I've had so many frustrated times. I've reapplied. I'm now in extended benefits. And the latest thing is I have to fill out a form by hand with the name, address, telephone number, name, and result of contact of every job I apply for. It's kind of ludicrous because most of the jobs are email or websites. And there's no contact person. There's no phone number. So I put down a website.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird system. It's like the system is stuck in the 20th century, while job hunting is definitely a 21st century problem.
Michael, thank you. Good luck out there. And he's the second person out of 2 callers to say we have an industrial-era system for an information-era problem. Brian in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I think it's Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We had a bad connection. I'm unemployed. I've been unemployed for a year and a couple of months now. And, you know, one of the Republicans try to make it look like we're these lazy bums. I've got a new certification since I've, you know, I took a class and got a certification in IT, which is my field. I am now currently applying to be, I'm going to tomorrow take a test for the commercial driver's license and try to be a bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting no response whatsoever. I've redone my resume several times and I'm sending it all over the place now, and it's bleak. And another thing is, I was looking into maybe working part-time just to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if I work 8 hours a day for 3 days, they will deduct $100 a day from my unemployment. And basically, working 8 hours a day for 3 days at a job that pays $10 an hour, I'll actually lose money.
So there's that disincentive to work that the Republicans in Congress will want to cite. Because they might actually say people like you shouldn't be given an incentive to stay home rather than work a part-time job that's available to you, you know, even while sympathizing with your obviously sympathetic plight.
Right.
What do
that's
you say to that?
Exactly. Well, the thing is, it's like, what do I choose between, making enough money so I can make it or making less money so I, you know, and then even having less time to look for a full-time job? You know, it's, you know, I'm trying everything I can try. I'm older than most people in IT, so that is a really negative, too, also.
Frank, thank you for your call, and good luck out there to you, and you really, you know, reflect some of the tensions that exist. George Wentworth from the National Employment Law Center. I'm curious, do you want to lobby Congress? Is your group, which works on behalf of the unemployed, lobbying the Democrats in Congress to come up with a way to pay for these extended benefits? If that's really the stumbling block, and everybody in theory endorses a pay-as-you-go system now because of federal deficits, do you want to just shake the Democratic leadership and say, you know, come on, you guys and gals, find a way to pay for this so the Republicans don't have an excuse?
Yeah, I think historically these federal extensions have not been offset. They have been always treated as emergency spending because, in fact, when the national unemployment rate is this high that you need to, reauthorize additional federal weeks, you, in fact, have a national economic emergency. I don't know. I mean, certainly it seems like offsets are going to be part of the political discussion if this program is going to be reauthorized. But our view would be you have a national economic emergency, and it can be treated as emergency spending as it has been in the past.
John Maggs from Politico, the other federal spending story in the news today. I mean, there are many, really, but the big one, new one, is a pay freeze for civilian federal workers being proposed by the president. Is this a new position for him?
It is a new position for him, but in a sense, it's a kind of a continuation of a positioning that he's been engaged in for the last couple of years about the deficit. He proposed a three-year freeze on discretionary, non-defense discretionary spending last year. This is a freeze as well. It's kind of the opening gambit in what is going to be a very, very active effort to cut spending, cut the deficit, and I think the president is kind of straddling a middle position. The Republicans are going to say we've got to slash government, we've got to get rid of government workers, we got to cut it by hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and Democrats will also probably endorse the idea of cuts, but try to say, look, we need to preserve the things that government does that's really important, and the president is right in the middle saying, let's just freeze pay for government workers and start the conversation there.
And it's only, I say only, $2 billion in savings over the next fiscal year, which is a lot of money to you and me, but in terms of the federal deficit, it's a drop in the bucket when the federal deficit is over $1 trillion for the next year. So this is more symbolic than actually significantly money saving, so that the president can stand up and say, hey, look, I'm being tough on the unionized federal workers?
It is. It is symbolic. But then Democrats would tell you, look, the symbolism is important if you were going to go to the public and say, look, we're actually going to have to cut government by a lot. We're going to have to cut services. The public will say, well, why don't we cut the pay of federal workers? And this is in effect saying we're going to hold federal workers' pay at current levels. So Democrats would say it's a good faith effort to say the government is going to cut back and the public is going to have to accept less service from government.
How much of this unemployment extension, George, would the $2 billion pay for?
$2 billion would pay for about 2 weeks reauthorizing the existing program. It's about, I think it's about $5 billion a month.
About $5 billion a month.
Brian?
Yeah.
Hey, could I just jump in and say I really feel terrible listening to your listeners and the experience they're having, and it really, I think everybody should know, there are ideas out there about reforming this program. Mm-hmm. Democrats have been talking about them now for years, and one of the consequences of this political stalemate we find ourselves now in is that we're not having conversations about doing things like changing the unemployment program to make it more useful to people and help it make it more efficient in getting workers back into the workforce.
And George, you've written a piece about the stigma of unemployment and how you think it's actually worse now than it was when you had to stand in line for checks. Lonely or sad or more confusing, Explain that.
Well, I think certainly in the days when the unemployment lines would run down the streets of a lot of our major cities, there was a very sort of powerful physical symbol of the crisis that the country was undergoing. Right now, the system is run pretty much by telephone and internet, and I think there's a certain amount of isolation, and consequently, it's, I think, sometimes easier to paint a negative picture of the unemployed as people who aren't looking for work or on the dole, and nothing really could be further than the truth. Every state still runs a system that requires an active job search. One of your callers talked about a very sort of arcane process that's required in one of the federal extensions where you need to complete a lot of paperwork, documenting work searches in a way that doesn't really necessarily conform with the way that workers search for work now. But I do think that for the unemployed, there's a lot of isolation. There's a lot of workers, particularly older workers out there now, who are worried about losing their homes, who are seeing their kids' college savings go down the drain. It's very tough times in this country, and certainly the most humane, responsible thing that we can do for these workers and for the economy is to continue to throw out a lifeline to these workers until things turn around. And Congress, keep in mind, this is a temporary federal extension. It's only intended to go long enough till the economy starts to correct itself. That we have a national unemployment rate of 9.6%. It's been over 9% for 18 consecutive months. When there have been federal extensions, and there have been plenty in the last 50 years, the government has never considered cutting one of these federal extension programs.
And that's the point of the temporariness, isn't it? It gets linked in some way to the rate. Is that what you're calling for? Is that what's in the law? If the unemployment rate goes below X, either nationally or in a given state, then this extension of unemployment benefits would end?
That's exactly right.
And what is that X?
Well, it varies by program, but for the states that are getting 99 weeks, it's 8.5%. The states that are just getting onto the federal program at all, it's 6%. So, but Congress can relook at those numbers, but certainly we think 9.6% is certainly way off any chart for just cutting people's benefits down to the basic 26-week state program.
And we see that in New York, I believe the unemployment rate is 8.3%. Not good, but better than the national average of 9.6. New Jersey's rate is 9.2%, Connecticut 9.1. And so we leave it there with the deadline today for Congress to act to extend unemployment benefits further for people who've already had extensions, and otherwise it will expire for 200,000 New Yorkers and 4 million Americans overall at the end of the year. George Wentworth, Senior Staff Attorney with the National Employment Law Center. John Max, National Politics Reporter for Politico, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll have a call in on what you think about WikiLeaks. I'll update you on what some newspapers around the world, newspapers and websites, are reporting on some of these cables that have not necessarily been in the top headlines about them in the United States. And we have a WikiLeaks poll on our politics website right now. Do you think the WikiLeaks release is good for democracy, dangerous and unnecessary, or it's complicated? Let us know your opinion in our thoroughly unscientific online poll at itsafreecountry.org. And you can call in right now with your answer to that question. The WikiLeaks release, good for democracy, dangerous and unnecessary, or something else? Let us know what you think. 212-433-WNYC. You've been hearing all these leaks. What do you think now? 212-433-9692.